If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. It's in the middle of the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'll read just a couple of passages, and then we'll refer back to that. But Daniel chapter number 5, if you will. Daniel 5. Is the sound good in the back, guys? Sounds good to me. All right, good. Daniel chapter 5. And I've got right at 11:30, so I think we'll be out right on time. Daniel chapter 5. I'll give you the background in just a moment. And if you'd be so kind, if you have a cell phone, to put it on vibrate or silent mode, that would be very, very kind today. So here's the two verses. They say much of the same, but look down, if you will, in Daniel 5 and verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Notice that little phrase at the beginning, an excellent spirit. And then we see in chapter number 6 and verse number 3, a little bit different wording, but says close to the same. Daniel 6 and verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We mentioned last week we would start a series on Sunday morning on Bible characters that God said something about just one time. So last week we talked about Abraham. Only one person in the Bible was called the friend of God. That was Abraham. So only one person in the entire Bible does the Bible say they had an excellent spirit, and that was Daniel. So we're going to talk about him today. Well, we're really going to talk about him, but what he did through Daniel. And so I'm hoping you'll just hang with it today. Today's message will be a key in all relationships. So whether you want a long-lasting friendship, or you want a great marriage, or you want a great relationship with you and the Lord, or with people at work, or your neighbors, or family, or relatives, you'll have to have this ingredient. It's easy to spot. When a person has this ingredient, when they walk in the room, it lightens up. They're called an atmosphere maker. Things are nicer because they're there. They're kind of a spark plug, if you will. So let's pray. We'll jump right in. Hey, we got a lot of babies at church today. Have y'all noticed? I mean, everyone's having babies, and thank the Lord. How many of you are glad they're having babies and they're raising the babies? Slip your hand up high. Good, good, good. Good. Well, that's exciting. Let's pray. Father, bless this brief time we have. Help us now, and help us be focused on what you would have us to think about. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout Scripture, the word Spirit is used about four different ways. One, we have the Holy Spirit, capital S. He's God. Second, we have evil spirits or unclean spirits, and that's angels that sinned and got kicked out of heaven. Third, we have the Spirit that is inside of us. When Adam and Eve sinned, the natural man, our spirits are born dead. There's nothing that wants to communicate with God. The moment we get saved and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, Ephesians 2, 1, our spirit is quickened or it becomes alive. I was speaking to a man recently. He says, hey, he said, I know I'm saved. Look at the change in my life. And it's true. People who are dead act a lot differently than people who are alive. And so when someone gets saved, their spirit becomes alive, and there's something inside of them that wants to go to church, wants to talk to God, wants to do something for God. That's not natural. That's what God does. And then the fourth time the word spirit is used in the Bible, it refers to our attitude. Our attitude. For instance, the Bible says when Jesus' disciples wanted to burn up a city, they said, hey, they didn't like the shade of our skin. Should we pray and burn them up? Jesus said, hold it. Ye know not what spirit, what manner of spirit you are. He said, we come to save people's lives, not burn them up. So he talked about their attitude. David said this, create in me, he said, renew in me a right spirit. He had sinned. He had backslidden. He said, my attitude is terrible. He had stinking thinking. That's in the Hebrew. He said, there's something about my life that's not right. He said, Lord, restore, renew a right spirit, the right kind of spirit I'm having that I need. I don't have the right kind of spirit or the attitude that I ought to have right now. It was Elisha that looked at the prophet Elijah and said, I want a double portion of thy spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but thy spirit. He said, Elijah, whatever attitude you have, whatever that aura is that you have, I won't double that. So he's talking about the spirit. I was on a bus years ago with the famous lawyer, David Gibbs. He has spoken hundreds and hundreds of churches. And I asked him, I said, Brother Gibbs, you travel a lot. You're in hundreds of churches. You're around a lot of families. You've been married a long time. What's the number one ingredient for a church, for a marriage, in child rearing? He said, easy, same word, the spirit. Amen. The spirit. It's kind of like an open spirit. We've talked about this. People have a closed spirit. They're very shut down, very tense, very angry. Others have a very open spirit. The more open spirits in a marriage, the greater the marriage. The more open spirits in a church, the greater the spirit of the church. The more open spirits on a ball team, the greater the spirit of that ball team. But you get one mate that's open, one that's shut, it's kind of hard. You get two that's shut, you get a lot of that. You get two that's open, and you get a lot of this. Okay, so you're dismissed. Oh, okay, no, never mind. But that's what he's talking about. And you know when someone has an excellent spirit, and when you know they don't, it just comes out. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's all this got to do with me right here? Well, here's the background of the passage. So here is Nebuchadnezzar, wicked king. You could compare him to maybe President Putin, who is attacking the Ukraine right now. Atrocities, terrorist-type things, torturing, a lot of things that don't even make our news that takes place. They're taking people captive. They're torturing them, locking them up, hauling them to concentration camps, all sorts of things. Well, that's what happened to Israel. Nebuchadnezzar came as judgment. And I'll just say this, one negative, then we'll be positive. When God judges a nation who turns their back on the Bible and turns their back on God and kills little unborn babies and does a lot of things like that, God does not let that go unnoticed. That gets his attention. He loves the little children. He loves people that do right. So what does he do? Oftentimes, he will allow leaders to take over a nation that are fools and wicked. And you'll see that all throughout the Old Testament. So now Nebuchadnezzar takes over Israel. He attacks them. He burns the temple, knocks down the walls, and then he takes captives. The first group were the political leaders, those who had been raised in the court, those who were being educated to take over the government. And that's when Daniel was taken out of Israel. He was taken captive. So he is now being marched. His hands are chained. His feet are possibly chained. He's going to have his name changed. His diet's going to be changed. His language will be changed. See, all change is not good, folks. I mean, they were just going to change it all. And we don't believe in God. We don't believe in the Bible. So we're changing everything. He would have idols to worship. And so now, this is Daniel here. Daniel's possibly seen his parents killed. He has seen his city burned. Daniel has left everything that he ever knew. Get this. And he would never come back. The story does not end and he lived happily ever after. The story doesn't end. The captivity ended. Daniel came back and moved back into his own neighborhood. He never got to come home. Yet God looked down from heaven and said, he had an excellent spirit. And the queen of Babylon said, oh, I know that Daniel guy. He's got an excellent spirit. Now, let me say this. None of us are going through anything that Daniel went through. If Daniel could, by God's help, have an excellent spirit, how much more should we have an excellent spirit? That's what attracts people to Christianity. You can have a beautiful building, have a beautiful choir, have the nicest pews and the greatest activities, but if there's not an open or excellent spirit, people don't come back to church. It's got to be something. That's what brings the kids and grandkids back to their home. Because they say, Mom and Dad had an excellent spirit in the marriage. Our home had an excellent spirit. It was a great home. We want to come back. And that's what we want. So my question is this. How did Daniel, through all he went through, maintain an excellent spirit? How in the world did he do that? Was he on drugs nonstop? Did he have a medicinal marijuana card that he just kept exchanging? I mean, how did he keep an excellent spirit? He lost parents, by the way. He never had a family. He never got to get married. He never had children. He was living in captivity. So I don't know. How did he do it? I'm going to give you some suggestions here. Number one, he yielded. He yielded. Daniel's name means this. Are you ready? God is my judge. God is my judge. Daniel could have lived his whole life. Why me? Why my city? Why our country? Why did you do this? Daniel never said that. He just lived for the Lord. And he kept his attitude right. He was still alive. He still had God. They took everything else, but he did have the Lord. He says, God, you're the judge. I'm not. I don't know why you allowed this, but you're God. I'm not. By the way, the sooner you realize that, the happier you'll be. You're not God, he is. He does not owe you or me an explanation for what he allows, what he does, his ways, his word. He answers to nobody. He knows more in his little pinky than the whole human race knows all combined. He's God. He's all knowledgeable and he is all love. Just because we do not agree with something he does, doesn't mean he doesn't love us. Amen. My mother made me eat spinach. I knew she didn't love me. She made me go to school. I knew she didn't love me. She made me brush my teeth and clean my room. How wicked. See, she had some thoughts a little higher than my thoughts. He yielded. I must hasten. I've got so many stories. Number two, he stood for right. The Bible says in Daniel 1:8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He gets over there to Babylon. They said, now you're going to eat this pork. Jews couldn't eat pork. Now we're going to worship these idols. No, we worship the true God. We don't bow down to our idol. And we're going to use these cuss words. No, I'm sorry. Daniel stood for right. Let me say this to young people here today. If you're a teenager, you will either be a follower or a leader your whole life. Either you will follow every knucklehead that tells you what to do on TikTok, on all these dares, on social media, on this post, the bullies on social media, and this friend, and this gang. You're going to follow and do all these stupid things. And at the end of your life, they won't be there at your wedding. They won't be there when you have children. They won't be there in the momentous times of life. Be careful doing dumb things for a few little hand claps for people that do not deeply care about you. I tell you who cares about you. Whoever helped get you to church today, they care about you. Your parents care about you. Somebody cares and prays about you. You say, well, what's in the... Pastor, I just want to be right in the middle of the road. I don't want to be too cool for my friends, but I don't want to be too goody-two-shoes where I'm a holy Joe. I want to be in the middle of the road. Here's what's in the middle of the road. Dead skunks and yellow lines. Hey, good company for you right there. Someone's got to say, I'm going to do right. Here's what we ask. Is it popular? Is it fun? You need to ask, is it right? Wow. There's a lot of things popular today. Smoking dope, getting drunk, losing your purity, stealing things, vandalizing, looting. A lot of things are popular. Doesn't mean that they're right. Daniel said, I'm heading to Babylon. There's going to be temptations, but I'm going to determine I'm going to do right. If no one else, by the way, thousands of young people were brought from Israel to Babylon. We only know four that did right. Thousands of them, four did right. You want to be popular in your school this year? Do right. Everyone will know who you are. You want to be popular this year? Don't listen to the dirty jokes. Don't cuss. Don't let them tell you how to walk, how to talk, how to dress, where to go, what to laugh at. Let him tell you that, and soon you'll have a whole group of followers saying, what should we wear? What should we do? And you'll be influencing them in the right direction. So how did he have an excellent spirit? He stood for right. When I was a little kid, we had these things. I don't know if they have them anymore. They were called lizards. I don't know if they have them because no one's ever outside to see if they exist anymore. They're all inside. But when that green lizard would be on green leaves, he'd be green. When he crawled on the brown bark, he'd turn brown. And if you saw him looking at him, he would do these weird movement, and then he'd have this red thing coming down from his neck. My dad said, he's always got money in there. If you cut that off, it's got money. Don't listen. I found out if you cut that off a living lizard, he doesn't live. But and there's no money in there. But he'd crawl on the green, he'd be green. He'd crawl on the brown, be brown. We call that a chameleon. No one ought to be a chameleon Christian. It ought to be who we are on Sunday. It's the same thing we are on Monday. Same thing at work. Same thing at school. Same thing at college. Same thing in the dormitories. Same thing on the baseball diamond. Same thing at school. Same. Daniel had an excellent spirit because he didn't have to say, which group am I in? How am I supposed to act? Oh, I have to just be the same. I said, Pastor, were you popular at school? You don't look like you were the Brad Pitt of your high school. Doesn't look like you were this or that. You weren't the Charles Atlas. All I did, I brought my Bible to school. First day of school, everyone knew who I was. For some reason, they knew who I was. The guy with the Bible's here. Run! And I didn't have to worry about the wrong parties and the wrong crowd. They ran from me. Number three, quickly, he served. In chapter number two, it's a strange thing. This enemy king that burned his city has a dream. And he can't interpret it. And they call for Daniel. And Daniel says, the God up in heaven, he interprets dreams. And he told the king the answer to his dream. He served the king. You know who the happy people are? The serving people. Amen. The person, hey, honey, get me this. Hey, old woman, get me some. Hey, get me something to drink. Hey, clean this house. Hey, get that. That's not the happy people. The happy people are the serving people. Jesus said, you want to know who the greatest is? The servant. The servant is the greatest. We could all use in our country a dose of servitude. Being the servant. Servant to the community. Servant in our family. Servant to our mate. Servant to our friend. Daniel was a servant. He served. Jesus was called a servant. He humbled himself in the form of a servant. Number four, how do we get that excellent spirit? Daniel remembered those that helped him. Chapter number 2, verse 49, the Bible says that he interpreted the king's dream and he had asked his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to pray that he could interpret the dream. And the king said, I'm going to promote you to great honor. When the king promoted him, Daniel said, excuse me, I've got these three friends that helped me. Can they also be promoted? And they were promoted as well. Here's a great statement. I've said it before. We need to each spend our lifetime getting even with people. Not people who've hurt us, but those who've helped us. Amen. If you ever drive down a country road and you see all these fence posts, if you ever see a turtle on top of a fence post, you'll know one thing about it. He had help getting there. He didn't get there on his own. Someone put him on that fence post. And I guarantee if you'll start looking at your life, someone helped put you on some fence posts. Whatever blessings of God or blessings financially or possessions that you have right now, it wasn't all you. It was those who invested in you. Oftentimes someone will say, thank you, Pastor, for leading me to the Lord. Thank you for doing this or that. And I'll look back and I'll say, well, if it weren't for Mrs. Vorner knocking on my door, she's in heaven now. If it weren't for Brother Durbin, my 7th grade Sunday school teacher, getting me to go to camp, he's in heaven now. If it weren't for my pastor, Bob Smith, for encouraging our family and visiting our home during a crisis moment, I wouldn't be here. I think of Mrs. Williams. She's in heaven, would always sit over here. And you could hear. I tell a joke, she'd be laughing 2 minutes afterwards. Miss Williams, come on, in a hurry. The first years here, we didn't have a lot. We'd get a prank phone call. The angel of the Lord just appeared at your house. It was her. She had set up people to drop by groceries to our house. I don't want to forget Miss Williams. People that encouraged and helped and led us to Christ and taught us and picked us up when we messed up and came visiting us in juvenile hall and in jail and helped us when we overdosed or helped us when we relapsed and backslid. Hey, you don't want to forget people that invested in your life. Amen. Well, they're not perfect. Well, join the crowd. We found out you're not either. Number four, he prayed. You said it's number five. I know. See your problem? See, you don't have an excellent spirit. He prayed. In chapter 6, they make it a law. They said, how can we get Daniel in trouble? He doesn't do anything evil. They said, one thing he does, he prays 3 times a day. Let's make a law. He can't pray anymore. And I love the passage. It said, once Daniel heard they made the law, no prayer, he opened the windows of his house as always, 3 times a day, and he knelt and prayed to the God of heaven. Amen. If you, anybody ever been to Texas? You ever been to Texas? I'm sorry. Okay. just about every time I have a layover, I'm in Dallas, Texas. They got all these sports shops, and they don't sell the Raiders stuff. They don't sell the 49ers stuff. They don't sell the New Orleans Saints stuff. It's some team called Dallas. And they've got all their stuff. And they'll have T-shirts there that say, don't mess with Texas. I mean, they got a chip on their shoulder. Well, I didn't say I wanted to mess with you. And don't mess with Texas. Daniel would have had a T-shirt, don't mess with my prayer time. It's a law, no praying. He said, I don't care. He opened the windows, folded his hands, and prayed to the Lord. You have to have it. It'll stop you from cracking up mentally. It'll keep you from quitting. Men ought always to pray and not faint. It'll give you peace, and the peace that passes all understanding. It'll give you wisdom. Let him ask of God, and he give it liberally to all that ask of him. James 1:5. Prayer keeps us on track. It keeps the spirit excellent. Non-praying people don't have an excellent spirit. Praying people have an excellent spirit. It shows. It grows. They know. It just happens. I can give a lot of illustrations. We don't have time. He prayed quickly. He was thankful. Chapter 6, verse 10, it says, and he gave thanks. Now you help me. Think for a second. Come on. We're almost done. Your city's burned. Your parents are probably killed. You're now kidnapped. You're a slave to another country. You'll never marry. You'll never have your own family. You'll never own your own house. Now you have to learn another language. They've changed your name. There's no one to call you by your real name. They're forcing you to try to worship idols. What would you thank God for? Be kind of easy to say, well, I would have thanked you, but there's nothing to thank you for. Daniel got to lead a nation. He was the top fella, except for being the king. God promoted him. 4 different reigns and rules. He influenced the nation. There's a book of the Bible about him. God records his life from youth to old age. What an example. He was thankful. Now, I may not know every burden you carry, but there's something to be thankful for. So, all right, well, help me, Pastor. I can't think of anything. You woke up in America. Most in this room do not have a big disease. Most everyone was able to get in this building with eyes to see. No one has to listen to the sermon interpreted because you got ears to hear. You probably have a friend that's alive today. You own a Bible. You probably don't have an ankle bracelet on. Some of you probably do. I don't know how many we baptized up in that water. I said, does this electrocute? Well, I guess it is. Here, carry him out. No, it doesn't. He was thankful. Someone looked me in the eye yesterday and they shook my hand and they said, I just want to thank you for being there when we needed you most. I guarantee you, there's probably some people on the planet right now who's thankful because of you. Thankful. What else? He was faithful. 6:4. It says, and Daniel was, he was faithful. Faithful. My wife always, kids, and she said when she grew up in Maine, She said, I don't have talents. I couldn't play a musical instrument. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. She said, but I found out I could be faithful. Amen. And her mother made sure that the whole family got ready for Sunday school and church every Sunday. 9 years without missing one Sunday. Amen. That's not easy. Some of you do 9 weeks and that's pretty good. Anyway, 9 years. God looked at Daniel and said, that guy's faithful. Faithful. What's that mean? Always there. No one has to check up on you. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in God. Faithful in God's house. You just want to be faithful. I'll be doing a wedding in December. And I guarantee you, at the end of the wedding, they're not going to say, does this mean we can't date around anymore? I mean, I'm only with him. It's just him? And I doubt he looks and says, just her? I mean, I have to limit my dating just to her? Most of you would say, they're crazy. They shouldn't even get married if they think that way. God expects us to be faithful to him. Amen. Oftentimes, unfaithfulness, many people feel, well, that's grounds for divorce. You're unfaithful. Get out of here. Never want to see you again. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that to us? When we're unfaithful to him. Oh, you missed church and you're fishing, huh? Ha! Kick you out of heaven. Go to hell forever. No, he's not that way. God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful as well. Let me hasten. I give you the points. We're out of time. And the time is almost up. He looked to God for his answers. The Bible says that when the king had all these questions, he sought to the Lord for his answers. Let me encourage you teenagers. When you've got major questions and problems in life, do not seek counsel from other teens. You want to look in this book right here. God's got a lot more experience. Amen. I call this the cheat sheet. Okay, let's find out. How many of you adults at some time or teenagers have ever been in an exam or a test or DMV and you saw someone cheating? Slip your hand up. And it was you. Leave it up. No, I'm just kidding. We'd get a lot of people on that one, I guarantee you. Cheat sheets are simply, here's the answers. I'll post them somewhere so I can refer to them. You don't have to know all the answers to life. You just have to have a book that has them all. And anytime you need the answers, you just look them up. He sought to God's word. I must hasten. I like this. We're about finished. He persevered. He finished. Finished. Chapter number 6, verse 16. Verse number 20. He is thrown into the den of lions. And here's what the king says. Is the God whom thou servest, C word, you ready? Continually able to deliver thee? The king looked at Daniel. He didn't say, you know, I know you've been serving God a year or two. He said, continually. Daniel started when he was a young person. By the way, what a great goal for every young person. Serve God as a teenager. Serve Him in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s and 80s and 90s and hundreds and finish. Amen. A lot of people serve God in their youth and waste the rest of the years. A lot of people waste their youth and they get it together in their 30s or 40s and finish the rest of their years. But what a joy to start serving God in your youth and never have an interruption, no comma, no semicolon, all the way to the end. Daniel, who serveth your God continually, he persevered. Let me encourage you, finish. No time to quit. The Lord's coming soon. The trumpet's going to sound. The end is here. I can't set the date, but I think it's in my lifetime. If you're going to travel and see some countries before your death, you better do it fast because you may go up. It's soon. I'm finished when, toward the end of Daniel's life, it said that Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, it's the end of the world, the book of Daniel. Daniel interpreted the king's dreams. So later on, God gave Daniel some dreams of his own. Now he's seeing one day Jesus is coming back. When I was a teenager, we had a back door. We came into our house if we were at an activity or working late. My mother would always keep the porch light on. The light never went off till the last young one was home. Then the light went off. She kept the porch light on. She was waiting on us. Let me encourage you. Keep that porch light on. He's coming. How wonderful it would be if we knew He was coming back tomorrow. How many of you right now, that would cure some financial issues right now? Okay. How many of you, it would cure some health issues? How many teenagers, it would cure a subject at school issues? No more geometry. He's coming. Daniel, excellent spirit. That's probably what we need. It's not all the workers at work tomorrow that you dread. Bring an excellent spirit with you. Not the bullies at school, not the people that's down on you and envious and jealous. Bring an excellent spirit. You can conquer that. Daniel did. He did. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, the excellent spirit starts right here at the cross. Amen. It starts by giving Him your sins and Him giving you forgiveness and going to bed at night knowing you're going to heaven, you're forgiven. And that's only through Jesus, not through a religion, not through the water, not through a change of life. It's just through Him. Today He offers you that free gift of eternal life as a gift, but you must receive it. It's your choice. I hope you'll do it.